Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live and on the air right now to address your questions or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and call. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The psalmist wrote this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So the Lord God spoke and created everything that we see. It came into being. We came into being. And all that we have is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's just truth. We don't want to embrace that truth. We rebel against that truth. Why? Because we want to put our hands on things and hold on in such a way that we think we own them. But we own nothing. Everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we use is a gift of God. And when we realize that, when we recognize the truth, then this grace and money thing come into perspective. Yeah. We gain new insight into how to use the resources and the gifts that God gives us out of his grace. I love what Matthew wrote as far as what Jesus was saying to his disciples in chapter 6. This is such an important chapter to each and every one of us. He leads into this particular section with these words, "You cannot serve both God and money." So there's an issue. That's a real issue with people. The fact that we're chasing after the almighty dollar. I mean, that's the American way, isn't it? To chase after yeah. that almighty dollar. That's the European way. That's the Middle Eastern way. I mean, that's just the world's way to move people to chase after that almighty dollar. Well, if you're chasing after the almighty dollar, you have God kind of in the rear view mirror. You're not looking at him.
Yeah.
You're looking elsewhere. And when you're looking elsewhere and not to God, one of the things that we humans are going to experience is worry. We're just going to get worried about life. When we're chasing the almighty dollar, worry is going to be right there running with us.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Mm-hmm. So if we're chasing after the almighty dollar, we're not going to express faith in God. And we're not going to rest in the fact that the earth is the Lord's. He owns everything. And he loves us in such a way, he's going to meet every one of our needs according to his riches in glory. That's a promise. So if we're chasing that almighty dollar, worry is going to be a part of our lives.
Right.
I bet if you're listening out there, you can say a big, hearty amen to that.
Yeah.
I know I can. So he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
Yeah.
Set your heart and mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will fall into place. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. This, of course, is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We really want to hear from you by phone. If you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a money issue, why, we'd like to talk about it with you. Give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from John, who writes to us from Illinois, on accountability, as a matter of fact, said, I would really appreciate your opinion about biblical accountability. The church I attend stresses the importance of accountability in small groups, but it feels very legalistic to me. I object to the expectation that every week and every small group, people should be sharing the sins that they're struggling with. James 5:16, of course, is one of the references that is used frequently about this practice, but I think it is taken out of context. Shouldn't we be focused more on who we are in Christ rather than focusing so much on sin? Isn't it the love of God that compels us and not having to account to someone else?
Well, our accountability should be to God and to Jesus Christ. To draw people together in small groups and say, we need to confess our sins one to another. I don't think that's what the book of James was talking about at all. If I haven't sinned against you, then I shouldn't be confessing my sins to you.
Right.
But if I have sinned against you, then that sin has damaged our relationship in some way. So we need to be reconciled. And the first step of that is to say, hey, I've wronged you, and I'm sorry about that. So if I've wronged a person, then that's what the book of James would be encouraging us to do, to go to that person.
Yes.
And confess your sin against that person to that person, and then allow God to restore the relationship as only he can do. A lot of times when you get into those small groups, it does become very legalistic, and you will see a lot of people start to lie about what's going on with them that week. You know, have you looked at, something on the screen that you weren't supposed to? No, I haven't, knowing full well that you have. Well, why do you lie? Because you don't want the judgment to come back, and you feel that way. So I don't think those groups where you go and say, this is what I've struggled with, and somebody else says, well, this is what I've struggled with, I don't think that's what James is talking about at all.
No.
I think we can develop friendships. We can have believers that we're close to, that we can feel comfortable with. And in those relationships, just freely share, because it's a friendship. You know this other person. But to do it in a forced way, in a forced setting, I don't think that's biblical at all.
Yeah. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about this or some other issue, we'd like to hear from you. Call quickly. Plenty of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. Well, what does the Word of God have to say about money? Well, Bob Christopher answers that beautifully in a 2-CD series, and it's called Grace and Money, and it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to go online and join us as a supporter of the ministry to help get this message of God's love and grace in the New Covenant out to as many ears as possible. To make your gift and request your copy, you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or, as I said, go to basicgospel.net. Go online, and we would love to love for you to be a part of the support of the ministry. And for a gift of any amount, you'll get that 2-CD series by Bob Christopher, Grace and Money.
Yes, indeed. And this week, I want to announce a special matching gift challenge. We had a board of directors meeting not too long ago, and several of the folks on the board came up to me and said, you know, we want to encourage people to jump on board with this ministry, to get involved so we can reach as many people as possible with the love of Jesus Christ. And they offered up a matching gift challenge of $25,000. So here's what that means. For every gift that's given between now and March 31st, these particular folks will match that dollar for dollar.
Yeah.
Up to $25,000. So it's an incredible opportunity for you to double the impact of your gift for this ministry.
Yeah.
So we've said often on this program that a gift of $35 to Basic Gospel helps us reach 100 people with the love of Jesus Christ. that's a pretty significant bang for the buck, so to speak. $35 reaches 100 people. Well, if you give $35 between now and March 31st, that will be like giving $70. So you've doubled your reach from 100 people to 200 people. Somebody may give $175. That reaches 500 people. Well, now that same gift reaches 1,000. So join with us. If you've been kind of on the fence whether or not you want to give or not give, now is the perfect time to get off the fence and make a contribution to Basic Gospel, because right now you're going to double the impact of your gift.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you today, this week, before the end of the month, so that we can maximize this matching gift. So again, every dollar that you give will be matched exactly up to $25,000. So take advantage of this. This is going to be a big help to the ministry and will help reach more people with the love of Jesus Christ. All the information on how to participate is online at basicgospel.net. There is a big rectangle there, gray, with a matching gift challenge. Just click that. Follow the instructions. If you would like to send a check to us by mail, our address is Basic Gospel. That's Basic Gospel, 1225. Just remember Christmas.
Yep.
1225 East Rosemead Parkway, Rosemead Parkway, Carrollton, Texas, 75007. That's Carrollton, Texas, 75007. Either way is a good way to give. Just choose one and make a contribution to Basic Gospel. Double the impact of your gift today.
A great opportunity to double your gift.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Edward. Hi, Edward. Edward, you're on the line.
Hello?
There he is.
Yeah, Edward. How can we help you today, my friend?
Well, God is good. He's blessed us to be here today.
Yes, indeed.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
And I got a problem. I'm running into these people. They call themselves the Mormons. And I don't know what they are, but they say they believe in Jesus Christ. But I really don't know what they are.
Well, they
Mormons
believe...
Some type of crook?
Yeah, Edward, they do believe in Jesus Christ, but not in the way the Bible presents Jesus Christ. They do not believe him as God. They believe that he was human and that he deified himself through his good works and that he set an example for them to follow. So they can become God just like Jesus did and be in charge of certain planets and all of these sort of things. So it's a works-based salvation. There's no grace involved in that. In some places, you can even read where they think Jesus and Satan were brothers. So they have some wild beliefs. Most of their theology comes from the writings of Joseph Smith that are found in the Book of Mormon. And as I said, that's a works-based salvation. They have different thoughts about Jesus, and it's pretty alarming. And when you look back at the history of Joseph Smith in particular, you find out that he rejected Christianity. He went to various churches in his community where he lived, I think up in the New England states at the time. He went to various churches. And he rejected everything that he heard in those churches. And he went out and he said he had this vision from an angel, and that vision became the answer that he was looking for. And he put that down in the Book of Mormon, and that became the foundation. So many people would say that's a cult in the sense that they don't believe that the Word of God is the absolute authority in our lives. Nor do they believe that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh as the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Praise the Lord. I thank you, man. I really appreciate it. My God. God is so good. He blessed me with an answer. I asked for it, and I got it.
Well,
the thing about that, they thinking that they can get their salvation through works, but that's not true.
No, they can't.
Not according to the book I'm reading.
Salvation is by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, lest no one should boast. It's not of works. There's nothing that we could do to earn salvation. That's why Jesus had to come from heaven, clothe himself in flesh and blood, and take upon himself the sins of the world to die in our place so that we could have everlasting life. Without the work of Christ Jesus, we would be helpless and hopeless to do anything about our condition. Well, Edward, here's what I want to do for you. We have a wonderful little resource called The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon, written by a friend of mine named Ron Rose Rhodes. It's a wonderful, practical little resource. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get it into your hands, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Edward. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Well, this and all the materials that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available from our online store. Just go to store.basicgospel.net. You'll find everything right there. That's store.basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Danielle, listening to us on WMCA in New Jersey. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Great. I was calling actually with a question about the New Testament. Is there anywhere where it records of Jesus and his disciples tithing or giving offerings?
Well, Danielle, I'm sure that they did because the Old Covenant law was still in effect. They still had the Levitical priesthood. There was still worship going on at the temple. They were still observing all of the things that the law had prescribed. And one of the things that the law had prescribed as far as worship of the nation was that people bring tithes into the storehouse. And so I'm sure that they were doing that. In Matthew chapter 23, it's one passage in the gospel accounts where we see Jesus talking about tithing. And he's actually chastising the Pharisees. It's not a very positive chapter. As a matter of fact, it's a brutal chapter. But he says, starting in verse 23 of chapter 23 of Matthew, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So these Pharisees were certainly giving of their tithes. That was according to the law, and I'm sure everyone else in the nation of Israel were giving their tithes according to the law. But all that changed. We are now under a new covenant. That old covenant came to an end at the cross of Christ, and there's this new covenant that's been ushered in. And Danielle, we're encouraged as New Covenant believers to participate and actually to excel in the grace of giving. And Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And it's really amazing stuff that he writes about. And our giving today, Danielle, is not dictated by laws written on stone. What we give today is the result or the response to God's work through his Spirit in our hearts. That's what the grace of giving is all about. We are responding to the impulses of God's Spirit to use our resources in a way that's going to meet needs of people, and it's also going to advance the kingdom of God.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an important question. And it's really an important truth to grab hold of, that we live in this covenant that Jesus brought into being, that Jesus ratified through his shed blood on the cross. And the Levitical priesthood, we've become the priesthood, and Jesus serves as our high priest. And so we have the opportunity to participate in something that those Old Testament saints did not. And that's to respond to God's Spirit working in our hearts to move us to give in such a way that's going to bring joy in the giving.
Okay.
Well, here's what we're going to do, Danielle. We have this wonderful resource, Grace and Money. We have a little booklet that's attached to that called Giving the New Covenant Way. Let me send that, put it into your hands, and I think you'll really be blessed in working through that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You are so welcome, Danielle. Thanks for your call. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. And again, for any of our listeners, Bob and Richard, that would like to get a copy of this this two-CD series, why we encourage you to go online, make a gift to Basic Gospel so that we can continue to proclaim the only name worthy of proclamation, that, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a gift of any amount, we'll get that CD series to you, and we hope you'll do that. BasicGospel.net or 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Question that dovetails into the question that you were just addressing with Danielle. This is from Danny in Benicia, California. It says, in the past I've seen the use of Luke 6:38 used in the context of tithes and offerings. I understand that text to be speaking about forgiveness. I see that you cannot deny anyone of that which they are in need of most, and through this text that if you forgive, you will be forgiven. I am currently sitting in a new church, and I've already heard the same passage used again in the same context when the congregation is getting ready to give the tithe. Am I being too critical, or is this again part of the faith type of teaching? Outside of a few hints of what I would consider to be prophecy teaching, the church is great, and the rest of the sermons seem to be very good.
Well, when you have, you know, a budget that you need to meet and those sort of things, and based on, you know, where you've been to seminary or what your denomination teaches on giving, that's most of the time what you're going to hear from a pulpit. So you're just going to hear their party line, so to speak. And most places you're going to hear this idea of tithing. I mean, tithing preceded the law. We certainly see it with Abraham. He gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. And in doing so, he felt like he was the lesser and Melchizedek was the greater, and that he was the one being blessed. And the gift was just a response to the blessing that he had received in meeting him there on that particular plane. Then we see, I think Jacob was involved giving a tenth. And back in that day, a tenth was just representative of the fact that God owned everything. And that's a truth that we need to understand, that God does own everything. We're simply managers. We're simply stewards of the resources that God has provided. So we need to have very loose hands when it comes to those resources. We can't hang on to it very tightly. That's not representative of what's true. God owns everything. And if he moves in our hearts to give, then we can freely give. We can be generous because we know God is going to take care of us. But then when the Mosaic Covenant came along and the Levitical priesthood was established, with Aaron being the first high priest and his bloodline kind of serving as priest from that point forward, they were prohibited from owning any property. And God said, I am going to put the support of you on the backs of the other people. And so they brought in their tithes to the storehouse, which supported the Levitical priesthood. But that Levitical priesthood ended at the cross.
Yeah.
And now we're all priests in God's kingdom. Jesus is our high priest, and now we can participate in the grace of giving. That's the good news of this gospel that we experience through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Absolutely. Danny, hope that's been a help to you. Hope you're listening. And friends, I want to remind you once again of the Matching Gift Challenge. Between now and March 31st, you can double the reach of your ministry through Basic Gospel. Every contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. I think it's $25,000.
$25,000. Yes.
As an example, a gift of $175 reaches 500 people with the gospel. Thanks to the Matching Gift Challenge, that same $175 gift reaches 1,000 people. Now, this is a perfect time to give your most generous gift to achieve maximum outreach. So make your gift today. You can do that by going to BasicGospel.net. You'll see the big old link right there on the homepage, Matching Gift Challenge, BasicGospel.net, or call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator to make your gift. 1-800-727-2828. That's the number to dial, 1-800-727-2828. up to 6 o'clock Central Time today and every day this week. We hope you'll take advantage of this and double your gift to Basic Gospel. Well, we're out of time for this edition, everybody. Thanks to Bob and Richard for being available. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back for another live edition of Basic Gospel, same time tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.